With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Fish Bites Podcast, and we have a really special guest today. I kind of say that every time, but this time I really mean it. I'm joined by the Marlins 69th overall pick of the draft, Will Banfield, already the top catching prospect in the Marlins organization. Will, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So let's go through your accomplishments first and foremost, because I want people to know, I mean, how impressive of a pick the Marlins got here. You were the Gwinnett County Player of the Year out in Georgia. You played for Team USA. You played in the Perfect Game All-American Game. You played in the Under Armour All-American Game, and you were the Perfect Game Defensive Player of the Year. You led Brookwood High School in hits, doubles, and RBIs. What do you think led to you having so much success, and what do these accolades mean to you?
They mean everything, really. I've been blessed with the opportunity to play this game of baseball, and playing a game that you love for really your job right now is really just unbelievable, because, you know, there's a lot of people that wish that they had, I guess, the chance, and I'm just trying to, like, take it and run with it and do everything that I'm able to do, and God has blessed myself with great ability, I guess, thus far, so I just got to keep working and grinding and all that, so I'll just, like, keep at it and, you know, just, like, keep striving for more and more.
Well, you really have taken it and run, because here you are, 18 years old. I mean, you were just graduating high school a couple months ago. Now you've signed a contract just under $2 million. And like I said earlier, you're the top catching prospect in the Marlins organization. You've already had your pro debut. Has this all been a blur for you? Like, have you been able to take it in at all?
You know, it has been a blur. It's crazy because, you know, like, every little kid's dream is to play professional baseball and really to essentially get drafted, and, you know, that kind of happened for me a month ago. It was a blur, you know. I mean, it was just crazy how everything happened, and I'm just blessed to be in the shoes that I am in right now, and really just, like, that step of being drafted, it gets me even more excited and makes me even want to work even harder to just, like, continue to get better and continue to work harder, because, you know, you got to go through this like minor league part of, I guess, the stage of your professional career, and, you know, trying to just get out of the minor leagues and make it up to the big stage, really what it's all about.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about the high school stage a little bit too. Brookwood High School, it's where you played, you know, all 4 years, correct?
Yes, sir.
So your high school loves you, as I can tell from Twitter. I mean, the second I announced that you would be on our show, I had Brookwood alumni, I had Brookwood students, Brookwood coaches, Brookwood baseball accounts all over liking, following, and showing you so much love, which is amazing to see. How much did your high school mean to you, and how much do you think that baseball program and the school in general played a part in where you are today?
You know, they mean everything to me. I was brought up in a really good community. Everybody were behind me and had my back, whether it be playing baseball or during school or whatever, like, just any part of my life. And just, I had a lot of really, really good coaches and friends and, like, family friends that really just, like stuck with me through it all. And I couldn't do anything to thank them enough for that. And I don't think I'd be here today if I wasn't around, like, the right people from my community.
And another person I see very active in supporting you on Twitter is your sister. And Marlins fans have kind of gotten a hold of her and have been really excited by the stuff that she's been sharing. How close are you with her, and how much has she helped you through all of this, especially at this most exciting point of your life, probably?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's awesome. She used to play softball back in the day, and she usually comes to all of my games. So it's really just awesome to have a sister. And also, I have a brother as well that just, like, support me in everything that I do. And her, like, tweeting and all that kind of stuff is pretty awesome, because I get to see, I guess, all the pictures that were taken of me and stuff like that I haven't seen yet. So then she puts them up there, and I get to see them really for the first time as well. But, you know, just, I mean, my whole family, just my mom is my rock and everything to me. And really, there's nobody else in my life that has done more than that woman. And really, I can't do anything to thank her enough for doing everything she's done for me, because I definitely wouldn't be here today without what my mom has done. And also, again, with my sister and brother, they have just done everything for me, really just like sticking with me and all my ups and downs of baseball, whether it be going through a slump or just going through school-wise, if I was struggling in a class or something like that. They've really all been there for me.
And that's awesome to hear. And you know they'll be there every step of the way, hopefully all the way to the big leagues. And talking about that in professional baseball, take us through draft night a little bit. I mean, you were kind of all over the place in mock drafts. It's really hard to know what's going on, and especially when you're just the player. And did you have any idea where you would be selected? And how did you handle the anxiety of waiting for your name to be called?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an unbelievable night. Again, like I said before, it was a night that every kid like dreams of and waits for. Draft night, we're just sitting around, just chilling, waiting for a call, waiting to see what happens. I really didn't have a clear shot of where I was going to go or where I was going to go or what was going to happen. It was just all like what kind of went down, I guess, before. And, you know, just sitting there with my mom by my side and also with my high school coach and then my brother and my sister. And then we had a lot of other like family friends and friends of mine as well that came to the house to support me as well. But just sitting there going through it and then getting the call from the Marlins and having them wanting to select me is just the most humbling like experience of my life, because a team like, I guess, wanted me, you know what I'm saying, that much. So just having like them having faith in me was unbelievable. So really just we made it happen right there on the phone, and then got picked at the 69th selection, and we just kind of went with it from there. And so now I'm down here in Jupiter trying to get my pro career started.
So when I announced that I was going to have you on the show, I mentioned that you were the 69th overall pick. And before I even got any questions, I had a lot of responses saying like, nice. And, you know, with the 69 jokes, how many jokes have you gotten with that? And do you almost wish you were picked one pick later if it was to the same team?
Dude, I'm just glad to be picked. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's whatever. Like, yeah. All the jokes are funny, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it's really just like humor. It's just like seeing everything on Twitter, and it's fun to like read through them and just laugh at it and everything like that. So, I mean, no, I mean, I was selected in a great spot, and I wouldn't take it back for the world. So,
well, that's a great answer, and also, I mean, that's a great attitude to have, because Twitter can be brutal out there sometimes, and if you can take it with a grain of salt, I mean, it can be your best friend or your worst enemy. I'm glad you're just enjoying it so far. And I mean, I can tell you so far the fans love you, and I'm sure they always will. But every once in a while, Twitter can be a little bit brutal. I've witnessed it myself, just as a journalist. But
learn to like let it go through it and everything like that. Just look past it and just keep rolling with your life. So.
And I'm sure that's something the Marlins will start talking to you more about as time goes on. But speaking of the Marlins in the organization and that call you got, I'm not sure who spoke to you on the phone, but myself included and I'm sure you grew up watching Derek Jeter. How did it feel to be drafted by a guy you grew up watching and grew up almost running the Major League Baseball in terms of being one of the best players that we've seen in our generation?
Dude, I mean, it's crazy to think that, like, Derek Jeter is my boss now. Like, he's the big man, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything goes by him or runs through him. So it's pretty sweet to know that. It was kind of cool because I think, like, a week before draft night, obviously I don't know where I'm going to go and everything like that. And I bought a pair of Jeter shoes, some Jordan 11s. And it's pretty sweet that a week later I got drafted by the Marlins and he's now my boss. So pretty cool to throw those on and be like, I'm wearing my boss's shoes right now, you know? So, I mean, just the whole aspect of just having Derek Jeter as my boss is pretty sweet and not something that everybody could say. So I'm just really humbled for that.
And I mean, a future Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, said, you know what, Will Banfield's got to be our third pick in this draft. And I mean, that's something, like you said, no one can ever take away from you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy just to know that I guess he wanted me at that third pick and wanted me as their first catching prospect in the draft. And it's pretty cool and humbling to know that he wanted me, I guess, that much for me to come down here and start in their organization and start my pro career off for him.
Absolutely. And can you talk to us a little bit about your college recruiting process? So you were committed to Vanderbilt. I'm sure you had plenty of other offers. What made you decide Vanderbilt?
Just the people, I guess, in general, and the coaches were unbelievable, and the facilities were top of the line, and it was in a really cool city as well, in Nashville, Tennessee, and really just my first time visiting Vanderbilt, I kind of stepped on the campus, and I knew that, I mean, this was a school for me. Coach Corbin was unbelievable, and one thing I really liked about him is that once you were in, like, the program, the college program with them, he kind of taught you to be more than just a baseball player rather than just be a baseball player on the field. And he kind of taught players or show players or guided players to be, I guess, gentlemen and actually real men off the field as well as being the best baseball player they can be on the field. So, I mean, really just the whole aspect of the coaches, the atmosphere, and the people at Vanderbilt and in Nashville as well.
And some people may argue with me about this, but I almost categorize Vanderbilt as a baseball school. I mean, basketball is up and down. Football is pretty much just down. So you decided to, you know, skip out on 3 or 4 years of playing baseball in SEC competition on a main stage in college baseball. How set were you on going there, and how difficult was the decision to ultimately sign with the Marlins?
It was difficult. I guess skipping out on that education and having to, I guess, like miss out on like the college life or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, baseball is my life. That's really all I've known. So signing with the Marlins, you know, I kind of like no brainer once everything like came together, because really just all my life I've been wanting to play pro baseball and win a World Series. So really just signing that contract was the first step to a bigger goal of mine. And, you know, I mean, it was hard just like to say no, I guess, to Vanderbilt and go a different route. But, you know, I'm blessed with everything that they gave me and the scholarship that they gave me and the opportunity to play at such a high elite and high level school such as Vanderbilt. And going to, I guess, an academic school like that and a baseball school is pretty sweet. But, you know, like I said, playing baseball is my life and that's all I've really known. So signing that contract was, I mean, the best day of my life, because I really completed that first step of my ultimate goal.
And are there any prospects that you already know in the Marlins system or that you had any familiarity with?
Yes, sir, I have. Yeah, Connor Scott. We've met a couple times in the fall and the summer, this past summer.
Awesome. And how has that been playing with Connor Scott and some other players in your draft class? Osiris Johnson just played with the Gulf Coast League as well with you, and Tristan Pompey, and how has that been playing with the players in your draft class on your team?
You know, it's pretty sweet. Connor Scott is my roommate, actually. We're staying up at the Marriott, and he's my roommate, so it's pretty cool to have, I guess, a first rounder with me as well, and a kid that's going through the same stuff as me through the locker room and through the organization. So we're two high school kids going through it together, and really, we ultimately have the same goal as well. So it's pretty cool to have, I guess, somebody that you've known a little bit before come in, be your roommate, and going through the same thing that you are in the organization. And also with, like, Osiris, I played with him a little bit as well. So it's also pretty sweet to have another high school kid like him to come in here and just go through it as well. And it's cool because we're kind of all, like, playing up the middle. Connor's the center fielder, and then Osiris is the shortstop. And I'm the catcher, so it's pretty cool just to look straight up. And then that's your boys that got drafted with you. So, and then Tristan Pompey as well. He's a pretty sweet dude, too. Plays really well. I mean, he can hit really well, too. So just going in the locker room and meeting him for the first time was pretty sweet, because he's a really awesome guy. And really just everybody in the Marlins organization have been really welcoming, and we're just looking forward to keep getting this thing going. So,
and Tristan, if you listen, I'm sorry for calling you your brother. I'll get used to that. It's Tristan Pompey. Dalton Pompey played for the Blue Jays. That's my mistake. Disclaimer. I'm just going to put that out there. But he seems like a fun guy on social media as well, and I'm sure he's a fun guy to play with. And it seems like a really fun draft class and a lot to be excited about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really just exciting just to go through it. And there is a lot of, like, different types of guys here in the school, because we're all coming together as one, and we're all kind of just merging as one and all of our personalities coming together. So it's cool to see how it all play out on the field once we're all out there playing.
And another guy that I was wondering if you had a familiarity with in the Marlins system, Braxton Garrett. He's from Alabama, but he did play for the East Cobb Astros, which is based out of Georgia. I know you played for Team Elite, if I'm not mistaken, but he did play in Georgia. I faced him a few years back, and I used to think I was a pretty decent ball player. He struck me out, painted 94 on the inside corner, and I realized, okay, maybe I'm better off on the other side of the fence. When did you realize that, hey, I can make a career out of this thing? And when did you realize that you had a future in baseball?
You know, just you mentioning Braxton Garrett, I actually played with him on my travel team when I grew up, when I was 16 years old at the East Cobb Astros. So it was kind of cool. It was kind of like a little flashback, because once I got down here to Jupiter, I walked in the clubhouse and everything. I saw him, and it was kind of like a little reunion, you know what I'm saying? So he kind of like saw me, I saw him, and we like dapped each other up. And it was pretty cool that we started out at the same place. He was just a couple of years older, and we're coming at the same place right now, and now in the same organization. But really, back to your question, just when I knew, I guess, that this could be, I guess, a career or something that I could try to play for a long time or as my job, I'd say really just like when I was 14, just starting like, I guess, really like just traveling everywhere and starting to get like college looks and everything like that. And just knowing that I'm playing up with older kids, so they had big pro scouts come out and see them as well. Like, I played with Braxton Garrett, like I said, and Will Benson, who got drafted that same year as well. So once I started playing up a little bit and having those scouts come to the games and also the college scouts, I kind of knew that I could try to do this, I guess, as a job or as a career. And it was kind of cool to, like, see them go through it as well and, like, try to envision myself going through it a couple of years after them. So,
funny you mentioned Will Benson. He was also on that East Cobb Astros team when I faced him. And he ran all the way over to our side of the field when he was warming up and was throwing foul pole to foul pole. I don't know if it was to intimidate us or just to warm up or anything like that. Do you have any sort of pregame things to get you ready? I know I watched the Perfect Game video where you talked about what you do behind the plate to get your hands ready and get yourself ready to receive the ball. What else do you do before the game to get ready?
I'd really just say, like, listen to music, play my music on my headphones and just get, like, into the game in my own mind right before the game starts and just, like, kind of run through the situations that I hope will play out when the game starts. But really just, I mean, listening to music, nothing too much, just trying to keep everything simple before the game, just to keep my mind cool and not stress or anything like that, and just, like, stay chill before the game.
And you mentioned playing when you were 14 years old was about roughly when you realized you could make a career out of this thing. When did you start specializing at catcher, and when did you realize that that was your position?
Yeah, so I started specializing in catcher really the end of my 13U season. So really my 14U season, and my coach gave me a bag one day and was like, "We need a catcher. Do you want to catch?" And I saw a bag with more gear and more equipment, so I was like, sure, I'll catch if I get another bag and more stuff. So that's kind of how I got it rolling. I was always like a shortstop, third baseman, and also pitch. So just, I guess, transitioning from that into a catcher was tough at first, I guess, for that, I guess, for how young I was, just like switching from, I guess, middle infield, corner of the infield, and then going behind the plate. So, but after, I mean, I got accustomed to it that first year, then I kind of like ran with it as well, and just found out that this is my position, and I'm going to keep like getting better at it and keep doing what I can to like get to know all my pitchers and everything like that. So it's really turned out to a position that I love most on the field, and I just love like the aspect or the whole aspect of catching as well.
Well, you've developed into a pretty darn good catcher. I mean, MLB.com referred to you as a potential gold glove catcher. I mean, what does that mean to you? And how does it feel to have already so soon have these high expectations? And how do you handle those?
You know, it's really humbling. God, again, has blessed me with the abilities that he has set me with. And I'm going to keep doing everything I can do to glorify his name and just keep playing hard and working hard and you know, again, it's just humbling to know that I'm even like being like considered as a Gold Glover, or one day just be a Gold Glove finalist. So, I mean, I'm just going to keep working hard, and day in and day out, do everything I can to get better and better at my position and being a better person, better teammate, and just a better like man at the end of the day. So
you mentioned working harder and harder to get better at your position. Is there anything specifically you've been working on since you got to pro ball behind the plate, and any sort of part of catching that you want to fine tune?
You know, really just the whole aspect, just like the little things, making sure the backup throws and all that kind of stuff, just making sure that I polish all the little stuff, and then really just like going through it and getting more reps on catching more and more pitchers. So really, I guess, just like I said, the whole aspect, just making sure that I fine tune every little thing that I can, that a good catcher needs, and, really just going through that, and then mixing just going from 7 innings to 9 innings, just withstanding that 9-inning game rather than that 7-inning high school game. So really, it's not too much of a difference. It's just a little hotter down here in Florida, and then just 2 innings longer. So it's not too much.
Well, yeah, I actually, before you came on, I mentioned, I was like, how is the heat in that gear? Because I grew up in South Florida. Trust me, I know how brutal it can be, and I don't even have gear on. I mean, it's adds another 10 degrees or so. And of course, the answer you give me is I'm just happy to be out there. But I think that really describes your attitude towards the game. And since you've gotten to the Gulf Coast League, I mean, with the hiring of Gary Denbo in the Marlins front office, there's been more of a emphasis on player development. Has there been any emphasis from the professional coaches since you've gotten there on an attitude or any certain things that you should do? Or are they kind of just letting you go?
I mean, they kind of lead us. They guide us to be the best player that we can be. They're trying to do everything that they can to bring us up and make us a better player at our position and get us better in general. So, you know, they're guiding us to be the best player, like I said. And, you know, it's cool to come in here from being at, like, I guess, a high school, and coming in here and seeing these, like, MLB minds and guys who have played in the league and who have coached in the league and everything like that, and see their aspect on every part of the game. And it's cool to, like, just, like, pick their ear a little bit and just know what they're thinking at times compared to what other people are thinking. So it's cool to go in there and learn from, I guess, the best of the best, and from coaches that have done this for a while, or players that just got out of it who have played for a while and been through the same experiences that hopefully I'll be going through as well.
Well, you mentioned learning from the best of the best. You got a pretty good catcher up in the bigs for the Marlins named JT Realmuto. What do you think, how much does it mean to you that you could potentially be learning from one of the best catchers in the game?
Oh, I mean, it's pretty sweet. Just knowing that I have a lot to work, like, towards too, and just maybe even one day just like meeting somebody of that caliber and just like picking the ear, like I said, and seeing what they're thinking at all times behind the plate compared to what other people are thinking, like I said. So I mean, it's pretty sweet that, I mean, that could happen one day, and I hope so. I just got to keep working hard and trying to make it through up through these minor leagues, and hopefully make it up to the big stage one day, and then get to meet somebody like that and pick their ear, like I said, and just talk to them and see what difference they have in catching rather than I have in catching, and maybe even like merge some of those to make me a better player or a better person as well.
And I think everyone can tell by now, this deep into the interview, that you're a pretty humble guy, but you have to recognize that there's some distinguishing factors that got you to this point. What do you think are those distinguishing factors that make you so good behind the plate and make you such a good hitter? What separates you from the rest of the bunch?
I think it's just my heart, my love for the game. And I mean, like I said, this has been my life, my whole life. I've really just like straight away from like having a summer and everything, just going out on like travel ball trips and going out to different states to play baseball, to get seen and everything like that. So I'd say just my heart, and then the way I play the game, and how hard I work, because to me, I'm the hardest worker there is in a clubhouse or on a team or anywhere, really, because I really take pride in playing this game. And like I said, I've been given the opportunity to play this game. So why not just go out there and do the best that I can and get better at it each day and just work as hard as I can to be the best me on the field.
And going back to your accolades and some of the experiences you had, you got to play for Team USA. Like I said, you played in the Perfect Game All-American game. You played in the Under Armour All-American game. What was your favorite experience out of those opportunities?
You know, it was really humbling to be in those situations at the Perfect Game All-American game, Under Armour, and to play for Team USA. But, you know, it's pretty sweet to play for Team USA and have USA across your chest and know that you're playing for your country. And it was pretty cool because we went 9-0 and we brought the gold back to the U.S. And just having that gold medal around our necks and knowing that we did this for our country and we went out there and we played the best that we can for our country and for the people back home. So it was pretty sweet to go out there and just, like, I guess, play for everybody back in the U.S. and playing against kids from different countries and knowing that they're playing for the same reason as well. And it was pretty cool that we were able to go 9-0 and win the tournament and bring it back to the U.S. So,
and you mentioned going 9-0, absolutely dominating that tournament. What was it like playing with so many guys that you know that you could probably be seeing in pro ball and in the future? Who is your closest friend out of that bunch?
I mean, it was pretty sweet just, like, play with all of that great competition and with the whole pitching staff that we had and all the position players. And it's pretty cool to go through this draft or this past month and see all the guys that you played with get drafted as well. And I'm not sure if I could pick one. All the guys are great, but I mean, Bryce Terang was my roommate and we kind of hit it off pretty well. And I mean, it was pretty cool to go through it with him as well. And also, like, Kumar Rocker and Ethan Hankins, they live like 30 minutes away from me each. So it's pretty cool to have those boys, like my teammates that I play with in travel ball with Team Elite, go through it as well and go to a different country and play for our country. And we're all boys back home. So it's pretty cool to go out there and see them while I'm on the field or they're all on the field pitching and know that we're all doing this for one cause and we'll bring it back to the hometown.
Well, Kumar Rocker is a guy that was also committed to Vanderbilt. He will be attending Vanderbilt. Did he give you a hard time at all for skipping out and deciding to sign with the Marlins, or was he just proud of you and happy for you?
You know, a little bit of both. It was kind of bittersweet a little bit because, you know, we always wanted to play together, but we knew what was coming up and that we were both going to be considered to be drafted, whether it be drafted in the right spot or going to attend Vanderbilt. So obviously went in a different direction, but I mean, a little bit of both. Like I said, again, it was kind of a little bit of, like, me wishing I could catch him again and him wishing he could throw to me again. So really just both ways. But in the end, I know that he's going to be just fine at Vanderbilt. And I mean, he's going to get better in these next 3 years and he's going to come out better than ever in the next 3 years and then show everybody what he's got as well.
Hey, and you never know. Marlins can always use some pitching, and down the road, I would not be upset with picking Kumar Rocker because I know I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think he's going to develop into one heck of a pitcher over at Vanderbilt, as they always do a great job developing their players, and I'm sure that's something that really attracted you.
Oh yeah, for sure. Really, just, I mean, that'd be pretty sweet in 3 years if that happened, or if any more of my boys got drafted, especially to the Marlins, so we could have a little reunite sesh and just, like, dab each other up and know that we're in the same organization now and that we're finally playing with each other again.
Well, that would be amazing. And one thing I like to ask players, because I think it kind of explains a lot about the way they approach the game. What's your favorite statistic?
I have to say, I guess, just the RBIs. I think that's a pretty good statistic because whether it be a sac fly or you're not trying to do too much, you're not trying to be just a you person on the team, and you're not trying to just try to hit a home run all the time. You're always just trying to, like, do a situation, whether it be hit a ground ball to the right side to get somebody in from third, or hit a sac fly to get somebody in, or whether it be in a clutch situation and you get a double or get a big hit and you score a couple runs and you get those RBIs. So I think RBIs can really tell a lot about a person or a player just by the way that they play the game, if they play it right or if they play it for themselves or if they're completing situations that they need to do at the right time. So I think that's a pretty cool stat.
I was wondering if you were going to say caught stealing, because you did go 3 for 3 in your debut throwing runners out. How was that experience? And do you think they were trying to test the new guy a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty sweet to go out there. I think it was my first 3 innings catching of my debut. Each inning, the first inning, somebody tried to steal, the second inning and third inning. So it's pretty cool to run out there and show them what I got a little bit. And I mean, I love when people try to steal on me, because I love having a little action and trying to throw it down a second and catch them. And I mean, it was pretty cool to go out there my first pro game and throw 3 people out. And it's pretty awesome too that you have really good arms on the mound that can get you the ball every time at a pretty good velocity, you know what I'm saying? So having them throw like a fastball up, or whether it be a slider outside, and I still have good footwork, it was pretty sweet to go out there and throw 3 guys out of my first pro career game.
Well, you mentioned the footwork. You pop a 174, which is the highest I've seen. I don't know if you've gotten measured at an even better time. I wouldn't be surprised. What do you think makes your pop time so impressive, and what is the keys to when you know you're quick to throwing a runner out?
You know, I think it's just my arm strength, and also just my, like I said, my footwork. And once you work, I guess, hard enough and you take a certain number of reps, and it kind of like gets in your mind as muscle memory. So really just like knowing my feet have to go at all times, and knowing that if I do botch the ball up a little bit, or if it is like a slider or change up, a little slower pitch and they have a good jump, I know that I can try to rely on my arm and still have good feet work to get it there. If they have a good jump, and whether it be they're already halfway there and I'm just now getting the ball, I know that I can still stay in line and throw a good throw down a second and have a chance to get them.
And those are all the keys to being successful at catcher. And I think that's what makes JT Realmuto so good. And I've seen some comparisons made between you two even before you were selected by the Marlins, in terms of an athletic catcher with about the same build behind the plate. And it's pretty good company to be compared to JT. Also, talking about what you were talking about with in high school, with how you handled situations, driving in runs, you made it to the Final Four in your state tournament, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Final Four.
And so I was looking back, and you came up clutch in a lot of situations. How do you handle that clutch situation? Is there a certain mentality or approach you have at the plate? And how do you handle the pressure in those situations?
You know, I try to just slow my mind down and think that I'm up there for a reason, and I'm the best player at that time to be up at bat, whether it be me or my boy that's hitting behind me at the 4-hole, or whether it be the kid in front of me or the 9-hole hitter. I know that I'm always going to have faith in them, so I really just have faith in myself. And whether if I make the big hit or I get the big hit or if not, I know that everything happens for a reason. So really just going up there, I just try to slow my mind down, and I try to see every pitch and make sure that I have the right approach. I'm not trying to do too much, and I'm just trying to get a base knock to put it on the next man.
And I mean, you hit over 400, you hit 7 home runs. I think I saw over 30, maybe 40 RBIs. How did you handle being pitched around a little bit? And I know that's something you might not have to deal with as much in pro ball, but as you climb the ranks and continue to make a name for yourself, that might be something that might be reintroduced back into your life. And how did you handle being pitched around, and what was your approach like at the plate, and how do you think that'll change into pro ball with your approach?
You know, I mean, it did suck at times getting pitched around. So, I mean, you go up there and you get in there. I'd get intentionally walked, I think, like 3 or 4 times one game. And, you know, I mean, it's really just respect, though. So, I mean, I'd rather be walked like that than just be thrown down the middle, I guess, because I have respect, I guess, on my name and how I've hit before. So it's humbling to be intentionally walked, but, you know, at the same time, it's kind of suck to be pitched around and thrown a bunch of off speed and everything. But that's all part of the game, you know. So really just, I guess, going through that, facing pitchers that were trying to throw around me and everything. I mean, like I said, it's part of the game. So I'm just going up there, just trying to have the same approach every time, just trying to get on base any way I can.
And that's pretty much all you can do. But I think the one positive of pro ball is you see these guys trying to steal on the 18-year-old young guy, and you showed them they can't do that. And I think they're going to go right after you as a hitter, and you might have to teach them a lesson pretty quickly that they can't do that either.
Oh, yeah. Just try to, like, make the transition from going from high school pitching to this pro ball pitching, and hopefully soon we'll get click and we'll get the transition really nice, and hopefully we'll will get, I guess, a pretty good start going to my hidden career as well.
Well, as we're about to wind down now, I'm glad you brought that up. What has been the biggest difference between high school pitching to pro ball, other than the obvious being velocity, but the top level high school pitching you faced, or even if it was in those USA games and in those perfect game All-American games? Is it just the ability to throw multiple pitches for a strike, or what's the big determining factor in the difference between the pro ball pitching you've seen so far and the elite high school pitching you saw?
I think it's pitchability. A lot of high schoolers or high school pitching, it wasn't obviously like what I'm seeing now, I guess, in pro ball. So it was like the 80 mile per hour, maybe in the 70s. And then occasionally you get that like 90 mile per hour arm. But really, I'd say the pitchability to be able to know what pitches to throw in what situation, and what, I guess, like what speeds to throw as well, and whether you throw a fastball, curveball, slider, changeup, sinker, or anything like that. So really, I think, again, like pitchability and knowing how to pitch the hitters, and not just throwing a fastball down the middle or on the outside corner, but knowing how to throw the ball inside and throwing all your off-speed pitches for strikes as well.
And you mentioned pitchability. A lot of that comes from the catcher and the pitches that he decides to call. How have you developed your ability to call a game, and how do you study and improve upon that ability?
I've always really called my game my whole life, whether it be, I guess, at high school at some point or just going through travel ball, I called my own game. So really just having, I guess, the background of just like calling my own game kind of helped me, I guess, to now call my own game in pro ball. And, you can always get better at your position, at the whole aspect of the game of baseball. So I'm just going to keep studying up and knowing how to attack hitters at what points and what pitches to throw when I need to.
And that's Will Banfield, everyone. I wish I could keep you longer. I mean, I could just keep churning out these questions. You answer every question perfectly. It's hard to believe you're 18 years old. I mean, you're answering these questions with the poise of a 35-year-old 15-year vet in the league, and I can tell you have a bright future ahead of you. You have the right mentality, and I can promise you we're all going to be rooting for you.
Oh, thank you very much, and we're just getting started, and I can't wait to go through my pro career and keep getting better day in and day out. So I really appreciate it, and thank you very much for having me.
And real quick before we go, tell the fans where they could follow you on Twitter.
You can follow me at Will Banfield on Twitter and on Instagram. You can just type in Will Banfield. I'm not really sure what the exact name is for the underscores and everything like that. But
I should have prepared you for that. I'm sorry. I should have had
it's
you
all good.
Have the
it's
at
all good.
Ready. But, anyway, Will Banfield, shouldn't be hard to find him. Still haven't gotten the blue check, but I think it's coming soon. But thank you so much for joining us, Will. Really excited to keep following you.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you again for having me. And I look forward to getting started and going through this pro career.
Thanks, Will.